Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Be God amongst us. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And let your children be truly blessed at the sound of your word. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 2. We'll take a few scriptures. Isaiah chapter 2, we'll read from verse 2. We take verse 2 to 5. We'll read from the New King James Version. Isaiah chapter 2 said, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and he shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Please take your seats. The mountain experience for many of us who have lived in this generation, and we have spent a lot of time in the church. Hallelujah. When you begin to hear about mountains and mountains, many times you are tempted to think of problems. You are tempted to think of, oh, we need to separate ourselves so that we can get some solutions to some problem. But the original design for mountains, as far as God is concerned, is for us to come to learn of his ways, to be taught of him. I want you to be just like me. I want you to see why I do the things I do the way I do them. It's not really about being able to get your solutions, because when you learn of his ways, then you will most likely come out of that mountain with your solutions. When the Lord asked Moses to come see him, God chose a mountain, and he said that mountain is Sinai. He said, "Come here." But you know, later in the future, Paul will tell us that even Sinai is now in bondage. Paul will tell us that Sinai is now in bondage. But you see, in that moment, Moses was on Sinai and he had an encounter with the Lord. And most amazingly, we talk about the glory that he saw. We talk about how he encountered God. But many times we forget that he came back with tablets, teachings. There were items that God gave to him. And what was the first item on those tablets? "You shall have no other gods besides me." That the first one is quite as important to be number one. When it's number one, it's because it's important. When it's number one, it's because it is important. Say, "Thou shalt have no other god." That was the first thing the Lord taught him. Because you are coming from Egypt, it's so easy for you. It's so easy for you to accumulate gods. It's so easy. And you may not even know that what you have done is chosen idols for yourselves. You now look back and just find that you have accumulated men, people that you look up to. You have accumulated women, people of influence. You go on Instagram and you see something, you say, "I want to be like this person." That "I want to be," it is called what God calls worship.
that I want to be is what God calls worship. Because Jesus said in John chapter 17, he said, this is life eternal, that they might what? Know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. So once there is an aspiration, you have to be careful about what you are aspiring for. Because many times the things that we aspire for are the things that God calls worship. You may not need to kneel before that man. Sometimes you meet people, you are lost in all of them, and you may almost find yourself prostrating or kneeling down because you are lost in all of them. But God says, look, this is all I've asked from you. I didn't ask you to be perfect without sin. I said, be lost in all of me. Because the key to perfection in Christ is to be lost in God. There's a way you journey with the Lord. You are lost in Him. When somebody comes to you and says, I want to marry you, you are not so much looking at the proposal. Every proposal is good for whatever it represents. But when you look at this person, are you also having the same journey? Are you on the same journey? Or will I have to drag you along? Or would I have to pull you along? Somebody said to me, say, Pastor, I'm going through so much problems in my life. I look at where I am in my life. I'm going through so many problems. He said, but I could not call you. I could not reach out to you. And I said, why? And the brother said to me, he said, I couldn't reach out to you. He said, because you warned me. You warned me. He said, and that day when you warned me, I did not listen. I just felt you were just being, petty. He said, everything that is going on. I mean, you know the thing about face to face with reality is that when reality happens to you, you are the only one in the picture. So life is happening to the brother now. And I told him, I said, you could still have reached out. I mean, we're having this conversation now. I said, but you could still have reached out. I said, so let's talk about a solution. Let's look at the problem. Where are you? But you know there are many people who don't even get that lucky. Because Satan doesn't come to them with the intention to take them off their journey. He comes to them with the intention to destroy them. So for them, they may not really have options. Because the venom of the attack, the venom of the enemy that is coming towards you has only one agenda, to kill. And that's why you notice in your American movies, they try so hard to get, the enemy tries so hard to take down the good guy, and then when he gets there, he now holds the gun to his face and start talking. The moment he start talking, I know he's good. You see, you have not learned the work well. If you should have asked your master, the one whom Jesus called the thief, say, for you are of your father the devil. Say, his assignment is to steal. Come on, say, Satan is a thief. There is nothing in his possession that truly belongs to him. Even the giftings that he has, with which he has made many musicians popular, God gave it to him. There is nothing he has that is truly his. When you come to him, or your mommy comes to to Satan through a false prophet that stays on the mountain with two wives, or he goes to a witch doctor, or he goes to a man wearing red garment, and your mom says, please, I want you to help me bless my daughter. She's in Lagos. What you didn't know is that because there was no charge, you were the price. What you didn't know is that even though the man said, Mama, just go, anytime the testimony happens, let me know. What you didn't know is that Satan is also a data analyst. He knows the value of data. Satan knows that a customer's email, phone number in your database means more than the money he's spending now. So what they do is that they take your name, they take the name of your mother, they take your bio data, they say they are praying, then they register you as a member. And then you go in for another meeting and say, you're a witch. You say, I'm not a witch. I'm not a witch. But they registered you when your parents refused to listen to their pastor talking and took your name to one mountain. There are people that up till now still don't see anything. They still don't see anything about with going and getting on this mountain. For them, the end always justifies the means. Unfortunately, you may be paying more for the end. When the Lord asks us to come to the mountain, it is because he wants to teach us his ways. That suggests to me that God has not seconded the doctrine, the indoctrination of his children to another man. God wants to sit over that process. God wants to give you his own pastors. He said in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 3, he said, I will give you pastors who are what? From my heart. That means not every pastor in Lagos is from God's heart. Put up that scripture, Jeremiah 3:15. He said, I will give you shepherds, I will give you pastors from my own heart. I will give you, which means every time God loves you and he wants to put you in a family, because there are people still asking, why it is important for you to be in a local church. Look at it. God said, is the shepherd supposed to be shepherding himself? Think about it. God knows you well enough. God knows the heart of man. That a man in isolation always derails. God knows that a man in isolation always derails. No matter how holy and consecrated you are in one country somewhere for vacation, you are somewhere, you are just doing me, myself, and I, and one boy throws in and destroys and takes away everything. You just notice that your capacity for error becomes heightened when you are isolated. When there's nobody to ask you, what are you doing? Where is this? That's why even in psychology, when I was taking some psychology courses, there was something we call the only child syndrome. Have you heard of it before? Only child syndrome. When a family is made up of only one child, you now notice that there are certain peculiar problems those children grow up with, that if you are not careful, if you don't put them in a community where they can learn family and be part of a system, learn to work in teams, most of those children are usually isolated people. They are even more prone, they are prone to many psychological problems because they don't know what it means to allow authority in their lives. There is nothing wrong with being, for instance, if you are unlucky and you are divorced, or maybe the partner dies, you have a responsibility as the mother to get a father figure for that child, because no woman has what it takes to raise a man. You can raise a boy, you can't raise a man. What it takes a man to raise a boy into a man. The same way no man can raise a girl into a woman. Because there are conversations you will never... You can preach about it, but you've not experienced it. So you will have to get... And it seems the men are even wiser. When you see a man that is living alone by himself, if we have some women around that help him around the house to talk to the children, do one or two things. But you see the women online and say, I'm 36, or the one we saw yesterday, I'm 34, I have two children, I'm divorced, I'm happy. My sister, you are sick and you need help. Some things that others may discount and say these things have no value. It is when you sit before the Lord, you will now begin to realize that even if you say you are married, you must take your children and hand them back over to the Lord. You don't even have what it takes as couple, husband, wife, father, mother, to take care of a child, because that child was given to you in trust. That child was given to you by the Lord, trusting that you will do the right thing. But even God will not sleep over that child. And that is why many children, even though they were the children and sons and daughters of pastors, they had their encounters outside their father's church. God had to organize it that way, because there's something about familiarity. It steals encounter. Familiarity steals encounter. Please let me preach to your neighbor and say, familiarity steals encounter. You just get to a point in your journey. So what's this thing about crying when you worship? What's this thing about going on your knees when you worship? It's about faith. You are my sister. I agree. When Jesus wanted to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt down. Any other points? I know you are laying claim to Paul. I know you are laying claim to the New Testament. I said Jesus. Let me not speak, because now we have a lot of, in the last 1 month, we have had about 600 Americans following this channel. So I have to be careful with all this, my PG English now. You know, just that they won't be lost. See, let me tell you. There is one thing that when people look at you as a Christian, they want to know. It's not your doctrine. Your doctrine is important, but it's not the first thing. Does this sister, this brother, does he have an encounter with God? If I am ever lost and I come to him, can he hold my hands and lead me back to God? Or is he as confused as I am? Because wearing a tie and a shirt does not necessarily communicate understanding. It doesn't. I was in a meeting some years ago, and there was a brother in that meeting, and he was wearing very long dreadlocks. And he was the guest minister. I was offended. Shegun something. He had a group, Spirit of David or something. Shegun, forgot his other name. But later we met and we became friends, you know. I will remember. But he had a group, Spirit of David. It was very popular in those days. But I was offended. I was like, what was this? Oh, guy, you want to preach? When the guy heard the microphone, I said, this one has encounter. Pastor, thank you for inviting him. Because when you see a counter, they may not come in the shade you are looking for. You may be looking for a brother that has met with God. The secret of that brother may be his wife. The secret of that brother that you love so much. Oh, I like him, he's so anointed. Maybe his praying wife. There was a brother in those days, Brother Ike. He used to be an occult grandmaster before he met with Jesus. And he said one of the assignments he was given was to destroy Archbishop Benson Dausa. So when in those days, in their coven, when they give you a higher promotion, they give you a higher target. So when they promoted him to a Sat guru, have you heard, seen some of those spiritual people who sat in front of their name? It's a level. When you are a Sat, you operate, you are not in the level of witches and wizards, you operate at the planetary level, planetary bodies. People can worship you when you come into meetings. Do you know any Sat around? There's one in Ibadan. Sat Guru Maharaji. Sat, you will see S-A-T in front of their names. So he too became a Sat. And go and check everyone that has that Sat. They receive human worship. Go and check them very well. Go and Google it. So I was reading the book of this Sat, whatever. If that guy went ahead and told us that even the name Satan starts with Sat. That's where they coined out that grade level from. S-A-T. That there is a principality in their coven or in their planetary body that is known as Satan, not Satan. That there is, when most people say, I saw Satan, it was that spirit that appeared. That Satan is very jealous. If Satan will show himself to you. Someone that considers himself to be the pride of the earth. Because you now sacrifice your mother, he will show. You have not sacrificed. Me, I sacrificed my place with God to be Satan. You gave me your mother. What did you give me? Give me your whole village. I will show up. Because encounters, when you get to a level, the price tag becomes sacrifice. What did I say? The price tag becomes what?
Sacrifice.
Whether you are willing to turn your back on a client that can put $5,000 in your hands and spend that time praying, knowing that you may lose that client after that prayer. I was listening to, is it Apostle Arume? He said when he was about to be promoted to a director level or manager level, that where his salary, his housing allowance would be 18 million. Government, DPR, was it DPR? Once you get to that level, your rent will be 18 million. Government work, 18 million, not your salary. His salary would have been, I think, 2.5 million. Then God said, he was praying, God said, it is time. My son, it is time. And let me tell you, if you like, wear a big giant headset with Bluetooth speaker. You will still hear him. Now, what most people do not realize is that God has never asked a man for anything that he never replaced. God will replace it. Yes. You may be battling with high blood pressure. Your parents may be battling with high blood pressure. The moment you answer that cry, they may not need the drugs again. Do you know that until 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I didn't know that I spent about 600,000 naira annually buying water in my house. I didn't know. I had a meeting with someone. The person said, okay, just calculate. I said, hey. Then last night, my wife calculated the amount we spent on bread every year. 500,000. My house alone. We are just a family of five. The next time you tell God, I cannot save. I'm not any money. God will say, stop buying bread. You will never associate being wealthy with not eating bread. You think it's about the bread. God is telling you, do the maths. Some of you didn't start spending above your budget until you started keeping some type of friends. Who had to wear a particular type of wig? Who had to use a particular type of phone? Anytime you talk, in 20 minutes, you are talking about one latest thing, bespoke, something that just came out. Oh, you saw it on this channel. Oh, check this YouTube, Instagram. Those are things you talk about. And because it is your time, you can afford it. Now, imagine that I say to my children, we will not drink, we will not buy seaway for the next 1 year, and will not buy bread in this house for 1 year or 3 years or 5 years. Then I will take that. What are the options? Then I can install a water purifier in my bowl, so I drink the water that way. But your own pride will not allow you. You see, because you associate drinking from that machine with doing well in life. But every time you say to the Lord, I don't have, God is saying, if you are not making money, cut your expense. It is the same thing. Every time God, every time God attempts to take away certain things from your life, it is to enhance your productivity. It does it. You may not see it, you will cry, it's painful. But that is what it is. Now, I have talked about two legitimate things, such as eating bread and drinking water. Now, I want you to look at your budget for your clothes. Just do a random. So, as I'm talking now, you are permitted to bring out your phones and begin to calculate how much you spent, an average figure for last year. And remember that throughout the last 1 year, you kept saying you didn't have enough money. Now I want you to look at your excuse for why you could not take that course in data analytics, why you couldn't get your project management certification, why you couldn't do some things that will better your life. Now look, put your excuse behind your expense and see who looks like a wise person. Let me not use another language. When you come before the Lord, when you stand up in this mountain, the Lord begins to show you a mirror of yourself. He's not just talking about the spiritual things. He's also looking at your life. Sometimes he looks at you and says, my son, you are thinking too small. I like your humility, but this one is not humility, it's inferiority complex. Can you upgrade? Okay, go out and upgrade your wardrobe. My son, I love you. Go and spend money on your wardrobe. If you and I went to the prayer room and I came out with, go and upgrade your wardrobe, and my wife came out with, cut down on your budget on clothes and makeup and all of those things. I hope you know this message is not about your clothes. Hello. I hope you know this message is not about eating bread. So you are not answering me. That means you think it's about eating bread. I didn't come with a doctrine from heaven that you should not eat bread. I said, I hope you know that what I'm talking about is not about you not buying shoes. You need to understand. I'm using those analogies to paint a very clear picture to you. That every time you say you want to see God, you will have to step. You will not see him if you don't pull out some things. I am telling you as a fact. I am not telling you that maybe in some cases. I am telling you for a fact. And the scripture establishes it. When the Lord told Moses to come to the mountain, he told him, he said, nobody should follow him. What do you think God meant by nobody should follow him? The people, the troublesome people? No. His wife.
His wife. Think about it. Just think about it. You want to stay on this mountain alone? And you don't know where you are coming back? You are going to Dubai. We are going together. I want to share you here. Share your hair now. Even my wife said yes. So. You are going to Cape Verde? Cape Verde? You want to go to Cape Verde? You are going for just to rest? We are going together. Because whatever happens in Cape Verde stays in Cape Verde. You will never be the same when you are back. Cape Verde released their daughters during the World Cup to the world. People were not seeing the goals that were being scored. They were seeing the daughters of Cape Verde. I was on my phone, on TikTok. All I was seeing were videos about the girls from Cape Verde. And when I beheld, this is not healthy for a man of God. You can lose your calling. You can turn your back on Jesus. Those people are not from this planet. They are just Africans, but they are not really part of us. You don't go to Cape Verde for a retreat. Go to Sudan. Some things are not healthy for a man of God. If the Lord asks you God's power, to go to Cape Verde for ministry, even if he does not remember to tell you, I will remind you that you must get married before you go. Because that church will not start. That church will never start. You will lose your salvation at the airport. The Lord told Moses, say, come up to the mountain. And he did not permit anybody to come. There must be a separation. And most times the separation should be in the legitimate areas of your life. The Lord will tell you, as you wait upon me for the next 2 months, you will not wear your makeup, cut your hair. So you just have to just comb it. I don't want you to spend 1 hour, 2 hours making up. So next 2 months, cut your hair, keep it very low. So by the time you are done, it would have grown back. Just comb it, brush it, wear jeans. And so I want your life to be easy. Jeans. I will tell your pastor that you'll be wearing jeans. So don't worry. 2 months. This is how you will pray. 4 a.m. I want to see you. When you are back from work, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. I want to see you for another 1.5 hours. 1 a.m. I will see you for 45 minutes. These are the prayer points. I don't know. When people say they are going to retreat, sometimes I laugh. Because my own definition of retreat is not just avoiding food. You plan it. You see, research can be defined as a planned, objective, systematic, precise process. So that is research. You can't say you are carrying out a research because you are interested in how many area boys eventually become governors in Lagos State. You want to do a research and find out how many people in Lagos State became governors as a result of being area boys. You know, it's a research. And Lagos State is a good sample, a good population to test that. Or you can go to River State and ask yourself, how many thugs became governor? How many of the governors in River State used to be thugs? Then the current one, who seems to be left where they, what happened to him? It's a research. I want you to realize that the Lord is back as a church. The Lord is beckoning to us. And every time the Lord beckons to us, it is because there is a door that is being opened. A door of opportunity for us as individuals, as families, as churches, to come into new experiences, to come into new things, to see things which eyes have not seen, which ears have not heard, things that have never been imagined. Every time God beckons, it is to something deeper. But I am here to tell you that one of the primary conditions that there is going to be what is separation. You are going to sit down, look at your space and say, this one for now suspended, this one for now suspended. One of our daughters, one of our pastors in Canada, she said to me, said anytime, I said, I delete the app. I delete, sometimes I delete for a whole week, then install it by weekend. I do not allow my mind travel so much with the daughters of Salome.
And that's why you brothers, you notice that no matter how you unfriend and unfollow people, when you check that feed, there's one feed, I don't know what they call it. I don't know what it is, or it's on Instagram. You just see people dancing. Brothers, are you here? You are looking at me. I'm asking you, Shem, you don't have Instagram. Do you see those people that are always dancing? Or it's like a, I don't know what section that is. Like, is it reels? I don't know what it is. Maybe, I don't know, maybe explore, whatever. You just see people that you didn't know when you follow them. They are either dancing or doing something weird. You have prayed against them, they are still coming. So God will tell you, during the timing of this retreat, you will not be permitted to look through your social media. And I hope you know that is not cheap. I hope you know. It's not cheap, oh. Because most of us have learned to be isolate. No friends. Social media made it so. You now wake up one morning. You now post on your status. Fake friends everywhere. Including you. Fake friends everywhere, including you. Everybody was on their phone. So it is reasonable for me, for the Lord to say, while you are on this fasting or this waiting upon the Lord, you will not check Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Now, the problem I have with that instruction now is if the Lord asks me to do that now, I don't even know my passwords again. So that account is gone for life. I don't know. I don't even know which email I'm using. So the thing should just remain there. So the only way I've been able to manage that process, Pastor Barra, is to turn off the phone. For instance, if you are trying to reach out to your pastor and you are calling several, he's not picking, somewhere your spiritual mind should tell you he's praying. That's why he doesn't have time to be calling the way you are calling. And there's something on your phone, it's called text message, iMessage. You can use it. There are people that, as far as 2025 is concerned, I've told myself I will not pick their calls. Because they start their calls very innocently. Pastor, how are you? Now, if you send me a message like, good morning, Pastor, I will ignore you. If you send me a message like, how are you? One word, I will ignore you. Because it's a trap. Except you are older, but if you are my, I will ignore you. Just go straight to your point. Don't set trap for me. Not that when I now pick up, Pastor, No. Somebody called me on my birthday last year. I took my children to school. As I parked the car outside, I thought the person wanted to wish me happy birthday, so I picked the call. That was my mistake. For 1.5 hours, my wife started looking for me. I was in the car downstairs. 1.5 hours. Pastor. Pastor, then there's this other one. Okay, it's my birthday. Let me be nice. 1.5 hours of my precious life. Enough time to watch a normal movie. And I listened to one person talk. I didn't interrupt her. She talked. At the end of the day, I now said, let us pray. That was all I was going to say. Let us pray. But you took 1.5 hours of my life. You didn't even remember to say happy birthday. So me too, I've decided to be wise. There's no crime in Nigeria for not picking calls. So, and anybody whose name enters that list, for it to come out to be hard. I'm telling you why some of you try to get close to people in your office that are managers, and you notice that they notice that you may not know you are wasting. They don't have that time. You have to go straight to the point. Good morning. Oh, in respect to this, this is the challenge, this is the solution I suggest. They will respond to you. How are you? Hope you slept well. How is it any of your business? I'm here. Go straight to your. I'm telling you that when you come to the mount of Lord, the Lord will talk about things you don't want to hear. You may not know. I was listening to Juanita Bynum many years ago when she came back to the Lord. She said she decided, the law restricted her from wearing some type of clothes. Say because she realized that she had killer shape. I heard it from her that I didn't know what killer shape was. She said she realized that even in church, she was always attracting some type of brothers, including women. Yes, she used to be gay, or she used to be a lesbian. She was doing both. And she traced it. She sat down, Tina, till she traced it. That, ah, is this your shape? This your shape? She said, and then she decided, from now, whatever I wear will be a flowing gown. Or at least something that is decent enough not to destroy the lives of innocent Christians. On the guise that God gave me my body. Now, that's an uncomfortable conversation. But you see, God will only have that conversation with you if he's thinking far about you. I am sending you on an assignment. I expect you to dress for the assignment. I don't expect you to be a distraction. I don't expect people to take their eyes off Jesus and be looking at you. Anything that falls into that cadre that allows people begin to notice you more than the one you are representing must be taken out, including anything. The mountain of the Lord is not that place where you come and you are asking the Lord for bread. It is the place where you come and you are saying, search me. I want to know what you think about this thing. And if you are lucky, you have a spouse, you are married to someone who is a seeker of the truth, you know who you can report him to. Because he will get the email. He will get the email. Your problem is not marrying a spiritual person. Your problem is marrying a religious person. A lot of people could be religious, and religion is a product of not being on the mountain of the Lord, where people assume what it means to be a Christian without living on the mountain. What they get is religion. And believe me, even among us pastors, there is still that question. Who amongst us truly knows the Lord? You don't go for those meetings. I go for those meetings. But that is the question I'm hearing. A lot of pastors are also not sure. Because if you really want to follow the Lord beckoned to his servant, Jacob. He said, come back to Bethel, where I first met with you. Remember that story? He said, come to Bethel. And when he got there, what did the Lord say? Take away your earrings. Take away your idols. Separate yourself from your wives. Please, I want to ask you. Are you legitimate? If you are married to your wife, is she not your partner for life? But can I say to you that if the Lord beckons to you, what he would have said to you is separate yourself from your husband. It's not that God is gender biased. If you are the one he was talking to, he will say for the next 1 week, move to the next room. I know there are pastors now that try to make you, that want to play to the gallery and give you the impression that if you are fasting, you can, hello, slow down. I'm not saying you cannot do what you like. I say, but if it's this mountain, it will sometimes require you to leave aside legitimate things. That is the price you will pay for winning Christ. That is also the price for power. That is the price for the glory. He said we want to come to his mountain so that we can learn of his ways. That means the ways of the Lord are not our ways. The ways of the Lord are not the ways of social media. The ways of the Lord will never be popular. And as a people, we must now come to this position so that when we begin to lift up our voice in prayer, God can truly hear us. The reason why we are so passionate about some of the things we are passionate about, whether it's in music or the things we show interest in, is because we've never heard the true sound. When you listen to Theophilo Sunday, does it look like he's singing for you? No, just imagine.
Just imagine that. Oh, he's a good musician. Does he look like a musician to you?
But you know what the word tells you? That God is always late. God is always slow. God likes to hide his people. He doesn't like showing them fault. He's not a fantastic preacher. He preaches, but he's not a fantastic preacher. But when did being able to preach well become a requirement for who God will show forth? Do you know he used to be a drummer in his church? This Theophilus Sunday used to be a drummer. When the choir is singing, Ji, Kaji, Ji, Kaji, Ji, Kaji, this is the day of joy, Kaji, you're not, be fast, fast, fast. God forbid that we will have a Theophilus Sunday in our midst and all we saw about him was a drummer. God forbid. For you, as long as he's there to beat the drums. But while he was there, God was working in his heart, just the way God is working in your heart. And right now, you are doing a lot to put some meaning and understanding to what God is doing, and it's not really clear. So when next you make that declaration, that, and you are answering the call to come to the mountain of the Lord, it is not a special program. It is not the theme of a conference. It is not the theme of a conference. It's not like just take it and put elevated site. Or what's that one we did at our anniversary? The encounter. I say the encounter. That one is a program. But you see elevated site. The price. Let's just leave it as a program. But if you really want to experience elevated site, the scripture says, wash your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. What are those things that the Lord calls eye salve? What are those things? Do something about this thing. What are those things that the Lord refers to as eye salve? That anytime I wash my face with them, I will begin to see as God sees. Those are another subject. So as when we come back for the second service, then we'll take it to another. But let me give you two quick benefits of abiding in this mountain. Number one, you will know the true nature of God. You will know what the true nature of God is, because God is the owner of that mountain. And that mountain is not the name of the church. It's not the name of a church. It's not like we change our name and say Mountain of the Lord Church. No. That one is the name of your church. But it is not this mountain. It's a spiritual experience. Nobody administrates what goes on in this mountain except God. So when you come on this mountain, who do you meet? Who do you meet? Who do you meet? Yeah. Number two, you will begin to discern that which is worthless, that which is profane, from that which God truly values. There are a lot of women, men, who fornicate, they don't commit adultery, but they are doing it because of proper home training. It's not because it is a work of grace. But when you become a spiritual man, you will now know that sex is a transaction, it's not an event. What did I say? It's a transaction, it's not an event, which means for every maker, there will be an authorizer. That means the beginning of that transaction may not be the end. Even if you are planning to get married. Even if you are planning to get married. I said even if you are planning to get married. Because some people think if they are planning to get married, they are excused. God understands. He doesn't. I hope you know that the scripture says if you sleep with a woman, you are married to her. Don't be happy. Oh. It's not a good thing. If the parents did not give you that wife, hand over that girl to you. Okay, let me put it the way the Bible put it. He that is joined to an harlot is one word. One spirit. Please look for that scripture. Let's round up. It was Paul that made that statement. He that is joined to another is one spirit. Do you have it? You see, we cannot talk about the mountain of the Lord without addressing the issue of sin. Because when the Lord beckons to us, there will always be the need for repentance. You may not even be sinning, but there will always be that thing that the Lord will say, okay, you need to repent of this. I don't know which version. Give me King James. Let me read King James. What? Say what? I said, you say what? It's not what. It's what? It's a question mark. Which means the way you pronounce it is different. What? Know ye not. That's another way of saying, do you not know? I expect you to know. At your level, you should know. Are you with me? Are you still here? Church is quiet though. That he, a man, that is the word joined there is sexual. It's a sexual term. He that is joined to an allot is what? One body. Let me ask you a question. Is this not the vow we make when you get married? Huh? Now, when you got married, did you and your husband enter into each other physically? So which body is God talking about? Are you still here? Hello, are you still here? And I want to tell all of you who are married, pray for your husband. Husbands, pray for your wife. Because the spirit of the hunter, the spirit of Nimrod has been released again to hunt for precious souls. Don't say my wife is very holy. Pray for her. Don't say my husband is strong. Pray for him. The hunters and the huntresses are everywhere, including churches. Say that is joined. What? Ah, Dakwara. Sorry, Americans. Ah. Are you saying ha? Are you shouting ha? Hey. Oh, mercy Bible. Ah, sorry, Americans. There is more. God, I promise them I'll be. There is more to sex than mere holy maharakano. There is more to youth fellowship. You should write this message down. When I come to you, this is where we start. There is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much a what? Spiritual mystery, which means we are still trying to understand it. How people pick up spirits. You inherit people's battles. You become a part of demonic inheritance when you touch people. You think she's just, this is just her body. The real person is her inheritance, her bloodline, where she's coming from. That's why you married. I just like her. She's just so sweet. I laugh in Spanish. She's so sweet. Let the battle start. He said, it is as much as a spiritual mystery as what? A physical fact. Look at physical fact. A fact is something that is out there. Everybody knows it's there. But a mystery is something that needs to be investigated. Because you only know where the research starts from. You don't really know what you will find at the end of it. And for each person, it will vary. I am telling you that starting from myself to the least person in this place, this call of revival that God has placed upon this house is first of all a call to repentance and a return to holiness. Harvest Word, are you here? Please put up that scripture. That is, the Lord says, we will pray and we will fast. He said, but he wants the power base of our anointing to be resting on holiness. Come on, are you here? He said, we will fast and we will pray. He said, but he wants our anointing to rest on consecration, on holiness. Because the access you have from that point is stronger than what you have when you are fasting. But when you now combine the two, you are dangerous. Come on, say, I repent. Come on, say, Lord, have mercy. Come on, say, I turn back. I turn back. I turn back. I turn back. I turn back from immorality. I turn back from uncleanliness. In the name of Jesus. Put up that scripture. He said, it is as written in scripture, the two become one. So when somebody says, Pastor, I don't know what's happening to me. I've been praying. You are married to seven men. And you don't even know their names because it happened a long time ago. As a pastor, you must know how to analyze, synthesize, as if you are in a lab and you are looking at the blood work and you know what you are looking for. Anytime you see this kind of problem, what are the symptoms? What are we looking at? When we see this, what are we looking at? Everything is not only ghost fire. Come on, are you here? So we have addressed the issue of sin. We have addressed the issue of holiness and repentance, because that will now form the basis of our journey on this mountain. Hallelujah. I want you to pray for yourself and plead the blood of Jesus. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Moti goke Oluwa lo Ibi ti ati so Agbara mi dotun Eo When we run and not be weary We will rock and not fail On the mountain of our King. Moti goke Oluwa o Moti goke Oluwa lo Nibi ti ati so Agbara mi dotun Oh When I walk I will be weary I will walk and not faint On the mountains
On your feet, brother.
Moti goke Oluwa o, Moti goke Oluwa lo, Ibi ti a ti so, Agbara mi dotun.
Isaiah chapter 2, the scripture we read and verse 8, the scripture says the land also is full of idols. The land is full also of idols. And they worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. I want us to repent this morning. We are going to repent of pride. We are going to repent of worshiping the work of us, especially those of you that are content creators. Listen to me. The Bible says in the last day, men shall be lovers of themselves. There is just this thing about you wanting to be in front of the camera. And it's okay. But let me tell you. Look at this scripture. The Lord says they worship the work of their own hands. I want us to repent this morning. We all need to repent of this one. Because pride is very quiet. It's very subtle. You may be dealing with it without even knowing. I want you to just pray for yourself in a minute. And repent of your pride. Because pride will hinder you from pressing into the fullness of that which the Lord has prepared for you. I want you to repent this morning as to take a journey on this mountain. Sometimes you can be proud and overconfident in your spiritual giftings. You can become proud of the things that you think that you have been able to the things you have been blessed of or blessed with because you didn't have to work so hard for them. But can we repent this morning of our pride and trust that the Lord will begin a new work in our hearts
and in our minds. I want you to ask for the help of the Lord this morning. I want you to ask for the help of the Lord. You cannot walk in these things without the help of the Lord. You cannot walk on these mountains, this holy separated mountain, without the help of the Lord.
Open your mouth and pray 1 minute. Ali kaparene sefetala. Zopreketi andele kabaroso feta ilakani masuta. Lord, we ask for your help so that we can come into these things. We want to have an authentic experience. We want to have an authentic move of the Spirit. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus, that you will open the doors of divine visitation upon everyone in this place and those who are connected online. In the name of Jesus. Salika barando sofedia. Ah, rabaleko sofedia. Zopregede balakazo fedia lema. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. When the Lord asks us to come to his holy mountain, it is because he wants to teach us his ways. That means most likely every other thing you'll be hearing out there will not be in alignment to what the Lord is saying. So the Lord has not seconded his teachings, his doctrine to anyone. He said, I want to give you my own shepherd, my own pastors, who will feed you with knowledge. I want to teach you myself, but I can't do it from the outside. I need you to report on the mountain of the Lord. That means that the Lord is calling us to live on the mountain, not to be visitors. Hallelujah. Now, you cannot take this journey successfully if the Lord does not give you the heart of a sojourner. You must have the heart of a sojourner, somebody that wants to travel far with God. A sojourner knows where he's starting from. He really doesn't know where he's going to end up. A sojourner is not a traveler. A traveler knows where he's going. A sojourner knows that he only moves as revealed and guided by the Holy Spirit. A sojourner is not moved by emotions. A sojourner cannot go with everybody. Abraham went with Lot, or Lot went with Abraham, but Lot couldn't continue the journey. Do you know that even after Lot was restored, Abraham did not take him back? Are you here now? You can be emotional and miss it. It was Abraham who went to save his younger brother, but after that day, he still did not allow him. That is the problem when many of you turn your back on strategic relationships that God has put in your life. If you break that covenant, the moment you say, I'm sorry, it's okay, you are forgiven, but you can't come back. I want you to understand what's going on. Because some of you decided to be God. You wanted to be God. And you took back who the Lord did not say take back. The person that created greater havoc in your life. And some of you will know one or two things about that. It's only God that can forgive and forget. You forgive. But for people to take the place of trust, they have to earn it. They have to earn it. Come say, Father, teach me your ways. I want to know your law. I want to know you. I want to be lost in you. I want to start my journey with you. Lord, help me. Can you pray for yourself in 1 minute? Can you pray, 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 pray? This is not a cemetery. Come on, open your mouth and pray. Come on, pray for yourself. These are matters of destiny. Kale marasifedia. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you will hold us by the hand. and you will lead us, and you will guide us, and you will guide us, you will lead us, oh God. You will guide us, you will lead us. We are not confident in our own self. We have no confidence in the flesh. Lord, we ask that you will start a fresh walk and begin to lead us in the way of eternal life. In the name of Jesus.